don't expect many people to show up. I'm glad you showed up. Thank you for being here. Hey, we had not scheduled a service tonight, being New Year's Eve, but we've done that hastily. You guys aren't partiers. Where would you be? So we're going to we're just gonna have an impromptu prayer meeting tonight, 6 o'clock, and it's not gonna be. There'll be a little structure. I don't know what we're gonna do, but we're mainly just gonna pray. You know, the Lord has given us a great year at this church, and it's all glory and praise to Him. I don't know that we did anything different. I think if you count the camps, 89 people were baptized this year. That's a tremendous thing that the Lord did among us. And we want that to continue. We don't want to be the kind of people that for the next 30 years talk about how good 2023 was. I remember when my wife and I went to Glacier National Park. I had been, but we flew into Kalispell, and we're going towards the southwest corner up to Apgar, Lake McDonald. And there are mountains that surround Kalispell, and they look sort of like our mountains, but a bit taller. And I never asked her that, but I sensed that she thought those were the mountains. She said, "Oh, this is nice. This is beautiful. This is lovely." And I'm thinking, "Hey, you ain't seen nothing yet, because on the other side of those mountains are more mountains. And then even that's not everything, because you got to go to the sun, going to the Sun Road, and then there are more mountains beyond that one." And I pray that what the Lord has done among us, it's just the little mountains, that there are great mountains yet to come. And we want to see that, and we want to climb those mountains. Now, there are 40,000 people in Greene County that don't go to church. There is a lot to do. And our purpose and our goal and our heart's desire in this church is to make a dent with those people for the kingdom of God. And the plan is not to start more and more programs and work ourselves to death. The plan was given to us: if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked or nastiness, I will hear from heaven and heal their land and forgive their sins. That's still the plan. And so we want to come and pray this evening, and pray as we face the new year, that the Lord will continue what He's begun among us. I want to look at a passage that's obscure in Jeremiah 42 and 43 today. It's been on my mind as I've thought about the new year. You know, one of the great things that God has done in the world is He has created a series of beginnings and endings. And that's a beautiful thing. You know, when you blow a day, it's great to just be able to go to bed and sleep it off and wake up in the morning and say, "Well, I got another chance." And I think a year is just a bigger version of a day. You may look at your year and say, "You know, I don't think that I want to repeat what happened this year." But so praise the Lord, I got another chance. Another year, I got a fresh start, I got a new beginning. And I want to share with you some things that have been on my mind. And it's not the perfect sermon for this time, but I've got it on my mind, and I can't move on till I get it on your mind. I can't upload any more material till I can download some material. And this has been what the Lord has been speaking to me about as I think about 2024. And I want to give you two things that I want to do in 2024, and I want to do it better, and I want to be conscious of it. And I think we need to be conscious of it too. And to drive that home, I want to look at Jeremiah, again, chapter 42. Nation of Judea has been overrun by the Babylonians. That's the context here. Israel had been defeated, the 10 northern tribes, by the Assyrians about 150 years before. The lower two tribes and the capital city, Jerusalem, they held on until the Babylonians rolled through that part of the country. And they had been conquered by the Babylonians. The city had been roughly destroyed, not entirely, but it had been really destroyed. And the tabernacle, the temple, had been destroyed. And the people who were left had a great question about their future. The question was, do we stay where we have been? Do we stay in Judea and allow the Babylonians to rule over us? Or should we go down to Egypt and immigrate, and maybe it would be better in Egypt? We're going to be ruled by the Babylonians, or we're going to be ruled by the Egyptians. Which is better? And so prophets were saying one thing and another. And this is an amazing passage because the leadership comes to Jeremiah, who's the premier prophet of his day. And in verse 1 of chapter 42, they say, this is what the word says. Now all the captains of the forces, Johanan the son of Kirii, Jezaniah the son of Hoshei, and all the people from the least to the greatest came near and said to Jeremiah the prophet, please, let our petition be acceptable to you, and pray for us to the Lord your God for all this remnant, since we are left but a few of many, as you can see, that the Lord your God may show us the way in which we should walk and the thing we should do. And then later on, they reiterate, whatever God says to us, that's what we're going to do. Now, I think that's, I only got 2 points, but that's the first point on my mind. In 2024, you and I ought to be people who are saying, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. Whatever it is, however you want us to go, that's what we want to do. In my mind's eye, I think of Jeremiah here, and he's probably sitting under a tree or maybe at a city gate when they come to him. But in my mind, he's a pastor and he's sitting in his office. And there he is Monday through Friday running the complaint department. And in comes these people and they say, Pastor, whatever God wants us to do, that's what we want to do. So you just tell us what God wants us to do and we won't argue. That's what we'll do. And, of course, after they said that, they got to pick Jeremiah up and get him back in his seat because he fainted. He never heard that before. And so he says, all right, I'll go pray and I'll find out what God wants you to do. But, again, it's important for you and I. And this is a simple point. And as we face the coming year, as we face the next chapter, that in our mind we're people who are saying, Lord, whatever you want us to do, that's what we're going to do. And we're going to listen to you. You see, Jeremiah's age was a time of great deception. There were prophets everywhere, and most of the prophets were giving advice contrary to what Jeremiah is going to give them. And you and I live in an age of great deception. Everywhere there's experts. Everywhere there's people who claim to know what to do. There's teachers everywhere. But you and I ought to say, I'm going to listen to what God wants me to do. Period. That's what I want to know. You know, there's a place that Paul is speaking to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Some of the last words Paul wrote that we have a record of. And it's interesting in chapter 12. I'll keep going. Find 2 Timothy for me. I gave you the wrong Timothy. You got a second? You find 2 Timothy? All right. You talk among yourselves while he's finding this. This is worth the wait. Okay, so this is Paul talking to Timothy. He says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now, here's where I want to get. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, hold that for a second, Bill. He's saying, Timothy, in your day, there's imposters, there's deception, and it's going to get so bad that even the deceivers are going to get deceived. In other words, he says, it's going to get so bad that even the crooks are going to get crooked. It's going to get so bad that the FBI is going to deceive the media, and the media is going to deceive you. It's going to get so bad that the scientists deceive the professors, and the professors are going to deceive you. It's going to get so bad that the crooks are going to crook the crooks. And so he says in the next verse, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Now hold that. Paul is saying, in a world of crooks and deceptions, in a world where nobody knows the future, or people who claim to, they don't know that, what you need to do is listen to the people that you know. See, he says, continue in what you've known because you know the people that you learned it from. Man, that's a powerful piece of advice. That's a powerful piece of advice if you're going off to college. You go off to college, they got titles, they got doctorate degrees, they've written books, but you don't know them. You don't know them. In fact, we used to joke when I was working on an accounting degree, you know, what's the quickest way to make $1 million? Write a book on how to make $1 million. People buy the book. We sit around and say, why would anybody who really knows how to build a business teach business at a community college making $60,000 a year? If you knew how to build a business, you can make 5 or 10 times that much building a business. No insult to you if you're doing that. I'm sorry. I don't know anybody doing that. But he says, listen, go back, Bill. He says, listen to the people that you know their life. You know how they live. You go down and to the college, you don't know if he goes home after he teaches you and looks at porn all night and drinks beer. You don't know if he's a pedophile. You don't know what kind of husband he is. You don't know if he's just reading a chapter ahead in the book. Listen to the people that you know. And that's true very much religiously. There are people that go off to college, and seminary professors are a lot of the seminary professors are demons, man. And you go off to college and you have been raised by a grandmother who may not have had the degree, but she knew the book. She stood there and watched her husband die. She got through difficult place after difficult place. She's read that book 20 or 30 times, and you know that she lives it, and you know it worked for her. Listen to Grandma. You know her life. And even more than that, you know that she knows the book. Look at the next verse, 14, I think. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. And we know that Timothy had a godly grandmother who taught him the Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. What's Paul saying? He's talking to his generation, and he's talking through them to you and I, that in a world of deception, listen to the people you know the book. Those are the people you've watched. Those are the people that you've lived with. Again, this is a world of great deception. Hear the voice of God. Now, the crazy thing about this world, I remember reading about this place in Paris. They made a perfume. And this happened, I think, in 2018. It just happened recently. They made this new perfume, and then they slapped this really romantic title on it. It was like, I forget, it was like an evening in Chucky or romance in limestone, something like that. You know anything about that, Pastor? Yeah. And might have been O.D. Rudd, I don't know. Although if it was Rudd, it smelled like gunpowder and barbecue sauce. But it was something romantic. And then they slapped a $125 price tag on it. And when they started looking at the ingredients, it was nothing but water and rose petals. And that's the world. It's the world. I mean, there's a sucker born every minute, and there are people out there taking advantage. The advertisers show you the Marlboro man. They don't show you what emphysema looks like. They show you the guys having a great time drinking a beer, but they don't show you what rehab looks like. They show you the guy jumping up and down at the slot machine in the casino, but they don't show you what happens when he gets home and tells his wife he gambled the payment for the house. They don't show you that stuff. They show you the glitter. They don't show you the gutter. And you and I live in a world of deception. And you and I, as we look at this next chapter, if you haven't been doing it, listen to God. Hear the voice of God. Say in your life, I don't want to be deceived. And the way that I live so that I'm not deceived is I come to God who knows it. He created it. He understands it. And I say, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. That's my heart's cry. And then secondly, out of that, Jeremiah says, okay, all right, I'll go pray. And in verse 7, we read, and it happened after 10 days that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And I'm going to point that out to you. Jeremiah is the great prophet. We're reading Jeremiah. He had a tight relationship with the Lord, and it took him 10 days to get an answer. So you keep praying. It happened after 10 days that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And then he called Johanan, the son of Kareah, all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest, and said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your petition. Now, there is a long explanation, but let me just read verse 19. This is the bottom line. The Lord has said concerning you, O remnant of Judah, do not go to Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. Verse 22, now therefore know certainly that you shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence in the place where you desire to go and dwell. So here they are. And they've come to Jeremiah, and they're saying, essentially, we want to know what the Lord has said to us, because we've got to know whether we're going to stay in Judea or whether we're going to go to Egypt. There's actually a gospel song written about that many years ago. I think the cathedral sang it. Like, should I stay or should I go now? Should I go now? If I leave, there will be trouble. If I stay, it will be double. That's what they're asking. Do we stay? Do we go? And that's an important question to ask. Because if 2024 is going to be a blessed year, I've got to make up my mind to hear the voice of God. But I also have to be sure that I'm in the right place. And what Jeremiah says is, listen, that's a good question, because if you stay in Judea, you'll be blessed. If you go to Egypt, you'll die. You got to be in the right place. That is a theme that is neglected in 21st century America today. And it is driven time and time and time again in Scripture that God won't bless you just anywhere. God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, you're in Ur. I've seen you. You're my guy. If you leave Ur and go over here to Judea, I'll bless you there. I'm not going to bless you so long as you're living here among the idols. But if you'll go over there, I'll bless you. And then later, you know the story where Abraham is promised a child, and the child doesn't come, and his wife comes to him in Genesis 16. Sarai and says, well, maybe it's you and not me that the promise is given to. Why don't you take my handmaid Hagar and have a baby with her? And Abraham thinks about a minute and a half, or maybe a second and a half, says, well, if you say so, if it must be, it must be. And so then there's a baby born through Hagar, becomes his second wife, and then Hagar starts to have an attitude with Sarai, and Sarai starts to hate Hagar, and classic scene. You think you got marriage problems. Holy cow. Go read Genesis 16. Sarai does what a woman would do and comes and says, well, I know it was my ideal, but you didn't man up and stop me, so God told me to tell you it's your fault. And then Abraham has one of the great classic responses of all time. I mean, you got to give this guy credit for creativity. He says, well, listen, she's my wife, but she's your employee. So as I see it, it's a human resource problem. You do whatever you want to with her. And man, that's genius. And so then Hagar is sent away. She's out in the wilderness, and she's probably trying to get to Egypt herself because I think she was Egyptian. And God comes to her. Fabulous place in Genesis 16:13, because out of God coming, you know, we think sometimes that Moses was the first one to see God in some fleshly or in some physical way. But Hagar says, and it's hard in the Hebrew to take it any other way than the way it's written. She says, I have seen the one who has seen me. So this great revelation of God comes to her, and all the compassion of God falls upon her, and his love is reinforced. And he says, now Hagar, I'm not going to bless you here, but if you'll go back to Abraham's house, I will bless you and the child. I won't do it here, I'll do it there. Remember how Elijah is there at the brook, and the brook dries up, and he's been eating well, and he's been drinking well in the middle of the famine, the brook dries up, and God comes to Elijah and says, all right, if you stay here, the blessing's cut off. Here, you're not going to be blessed anymore. If you go to the widow of Zarephath, I'll bless you there. You got to move, though, Elijah. You got to go. Remember Ruth? Ruth is in Moab, and God essentially doesn't provide for her in Moab, but he provides for her in the field of Boaz. Remember the time the children of Israel are in Egypt, and it's the 10th plague, and so you got to put the blood on the door or on the mantle of the door, and the death angel is going to pass by, and the firstborn is going to die. And God says, listen, if you're in the house, it doesn't matter how righteous you are if you're not in the house. And it doesn't matter how evil you are if you're in the house. You got to be in the house to have the blessing. If you're out of the house, you're not going to have the blessing. Remember Rahab? They told her the same thing. They come to Rahab, the spy, there in Jericho, and they say, listen, when we come in, if you're in your house, anybody in your house will be saved. Anybody out of your house is going to die. That's a theme of Scripture, that you just don't get blessed everywhere. You have to be where God tells you to be. On the other hand, curse also often comes to a place. It's interesting in the Old Testament where God would destroy cities. And when he would destroy a city, generally he would send a prophet. And the prophet would say something like, the sins have gone up to heaven. This place is defiled. And what he's getting at is what you and I think know instinctively. There are places, some of you might have something in your mind, that there has been so much sin and iniquity and nastiness take place in, that it's like the place is defiled. And there are houses where serial killers lived, or maybe there are houses where violence happening. Maybe you grew up in a house where there's just all kinds of nastiness happening in that house. And you drive by, and every time you see that house, you have flashbacks of what happened in that house. It's like the house is defiled, and if you could get away with it, you'd light a match and burn that thing down. Well, that's the way God looked at cities in the Old Testament. There was so much sin, so much nastiness, so much iniquity, so much darkness that God would come and say, I'm burning this place down. And the call to the people was to leave the place. If you stay in the place, you're going to get burned up. If you have enough faith to hear the word of the prophet and leave the place, you'll survive. That's what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what was going to happen at Nineveh when Jonah goes to Nineveh. That was the call, but the people repent. That was the word that that Christ had for the people living in his time in Jerusalem. In Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke chapter 21. There's a place in Revelation chapter 18, verse 4, where it says, come out of Babylon so that you are not plagued with her plagues. If you're in there, and we argue about what Babylon is, but if you're in there, you might be a great person. You might be nice. You may not be a part of the sin, but you're in the wrong place. In this coming year, I want to be in the right place. Now, there are some places that you don't need to leave. There are some places that you do need to leave. Let me tell you some places you don't need to leave. If God has ordained your marriage, you don't need to leave that. Stay in the marriage that God has ordained. You made vows to each other before God. Don't think that He's going to bless you when you break your vows. Stay there. Stay in there. If God has called you to do something, if He has put a calling on your life, stay in the calling. If He's called you to be a pastor, you're not going to be blessed if you're Jonah running from the calling of God on your life. Stay where He's put you. Stay in obedience. Stay there. There are some places, though, you might need to leave. If you're in a relationship that is a sinful relationship, you ought to get out of it. If you're a guy in a relationship with a guy, you need to get out of that and repent. If you're a guy in a relationship with a girl and you're not married, but you're having sex with her, quit having sex, marry her, or get out of the relationship. Make up your mind what you're going to do. And you ought to repent for what you have been doing, because it's called sin. If you're in a relationship that you ought not be, you ought to get out of it to a place where God can bless you. If you are around people, and if you're closely tied into people that are in rebellion against God, you ought to get out of there before they have judgment put upon them. I mean, there are people that go to jail, and I don't know, that people say, you know, there's very few guilty people in jail. I don't know. But I'll tell you the two reasons why people go to jail. The two main reasons. First of all, they did it and they got caught. Second of all, they were in the wrong place with the wrong people at the wrong time, when judgment showed up in the form of blue lights. The judgment came upon people doing naughty things, and you happened to be standing right there next to them. You were in the wrong place, so you got the judgment. If you're hanging around with people that, we are called to evangelize. We are called to bless. We are called to the lost world, but we are not called to be traveling companions of people who are shaking their fist at our Savior. You got to get out of those kinds of relationships. If you are running from what God wants you to do, oh Jonah, you need to turn around and go back and get in the place where God wants you to be. It's important in 2024 to hear the voice of God and say, Lord, whatever you've called me to be, wherever you call me to go, I'm going. But I'm also going to, with all my might, hear your word and be where you want me to be. Listen, college isn't for everybody. You need to ask God if he wants you to go to college, if that's a place of blessing for you. Or is that a place of cursing for you? I would even say this, I don't have anything in mind other than I'm just going to put it out there. We live in a consumer mentality where we shop for churches. The Bible says the Lord puts people in as it pleases him. God ought to have something to say about where you're going to church. It ought just not be a consumeristic selection on your part. Every church is not a place that he'll bless you in. And it doesn't mean other people aren't being blessed there. It means that you're not where he put you. It's important where we are. Now, interestingly, and I'm about finished, I got to quit saying that because the minute I say that, people start logging off our live stream. I'm not finished. Jeremiah 43. Now think about this. You got to get this because this thing's just about to turn. These people, now in chapter 42, you think, these are great people. They come to Jeremiah and they say, whatever God wants us to do, we're going to do. So, Jeremiah says, well, what he wants you to do is to stay where you're at and not go to Egypt. That's what he wants you to do. Verse 43, now it happened when Jeremiah had stopped speaking to all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, all these words, that Azariah the son of Hoshiah, Johanan the son of Kerei, and all the proud men spoke, saying to Jeremiah, you speak falsely, you lie. The Lord our God has not sent you to say this. They ended up going to Egypt. I guess they all ended up dying down there. So that's the third thing. If there is a third point, and I said there are only two. The first is you got to hear the word of the Lord. You got to be in the place he's called you to be. And then you got to believe the word of the Lord. Hear it and believe it. You don't want to be like these people. They heard the word and they didn't like the word. And so they said, surely that wasn't from God. Because of that, they ended up in the wrong place and they missed out on the blessing of God. 2024 is a new chapter. It's a new start. It's a fresh start. If we're going to be blessed as God wants us to be blessed, we need to hear him, we need to obey him, and we need to be planted where he wants us to be planted. We need to do that. And I wonder, as you think of your life, stand with me. I wonder if you would just want to say that to the Lord. Lord, I want to hear your word, and whatever you say, I'll do. I don't know of a better prayer in the Bible to pray than chapter 42. Now, granted, they had issues in 43, but there's no better prayer to pray at the beginning of a new year than, Lord, I just want to hear from you. And whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, wherever you want me to be planted, that's what I want to do. In my marriage, Lord, you see the issues that we're having. I just want to do what you want me to do. That's all I want. I don't want to be driven by my emotions. I don't want to be driven by some animosity that's entered into my family. I just want to do what you want me to do. I just want you to do that. In regards to using my life, whatever you've called me to do, I belong to you. I belong to you. Wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do in the service of the kingdom, I'll clean the toilets. I'll preach on a street corner. It doesn't matter. Whatever you want me to do, that's what I want to do. Some of you are thinking about college, and you need to pray that. Whatever you want me to do, Lord. Now, my teachers want me to do something. Parents might want me to do something. My friends are giving advice. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. I'll go get a doctorate if that's what you want me to do. or I'll go build houses. It doesn't matter. I just want to do what you want me to do. You see me dating this person, Lord, and you know all the thoughts in my head. Lord, I just want to do what you want me to do. Because if I'm in your will, it'll be a blessed marriage. If I'm in the wrong place, it'll be a fight the rest of my life. I just want to do what you want me to do. I look at this new year. It's full of promise, but it's not about the goals. It's about being where you want me to be. The right place in the right time, doing what you've called me to do. Man, that's a simple sermon. That's a life-changing sermon. A life-changing sermon. It's a life-changing word. Why don't you come today? Why don't you...